You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Crispy Compact Communique, the 2021 abridged streaming version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are still here. Somehow, we are still standing. 51 episodes of the Crispy Compact Communique. We're still
That's
here
right.
giving you interesting tidbits in sports, entertainment, and odd news. We've got a lot of interesting tidbits to get to in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. But before we get to all of that, Mikey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Doing pretty good. I was in Annapolis this past weekend.
Traveling.
Yeah, traveling out and about. My girlfriend is working in Annapolis. So I went down there and we hung out a bit. Had so much seafood. Oh, it was fantastic. I don't know if you've ever been to Annapolis. It's such a great little, it's like a smaller, quieter little city. Obviously right there on the water, lots of great seafood, lots of great history there. It was a pretty happening little town. Lots of people were out and about. The weather was pretty good, so we were taking advantage of it, eating outside, doing a lot of strolling through the city. The thing that I talk about the most is the seafood. I was just blown away by, you know, because you can't really get, I mean, you can get seafood around here, but it's like harder and a little like
it's
inconvenient.
It's not as fresh.
No,
it's just the nature of the business when it comes to seafood.
Exactly. So I was there on Friday. My girlfriend still had work, so I'm just chilling in the hotel room and I just casually ordered a lobster roll for lunch, you know, because it was just readily available. You can't really get that, you know, around here. I had so many crab cakes and they were like actual crab cakes with actual crab in them. Not the kind that you get that's like 80% filler, you know? If you want seafood, you got to go down to one of those shore towns. But it was really cool. It was a great little break from the norm. We also got a chance to go into Baltimore. I saw the Baltimore Ravens stadium. Actually, we were talking about the Baltimore Ravens later on in the podcast.
The Ravens. That's where my friend Corey lives.
Baltimore's great too. The Inner Harbor there, seeing all the
Inner
cool
Harbor's
ships.
Fantastic.
I got to tell you this funny story though, right? So we park and we get out of the car and we're walking down the street towards the Inner Harbor and we just hear this massive explosion. And we both freeze. We're like, oh my God, what was that? Everybody else is still walking. So we start walking again and we hear another enormous explosion and we stop again. We're like, what is happening? There's just casual explosions at like 12:30 in the afternoon in Baltimore. They're firing the cannons on the one old warship that they have in the harbor.
Yeah.
And so the people in Baltimore is like, oh, this is just the casual noontime explosions. Meanwhile, we stop and we're like, what's going on? You know, why is the city exploding?
No big deal. It's like Philadelphia.
It's like Philly with gunfire.
Gunshots.
Exactly.
It's either a gunshot or a car backfire. No big deal.
Exactly. No big deal. You can see the out of towners like me and my girlfriend just like freeze and look around like, why is there explosions?
Yeah.
But no, Baltimore was great. Annapolis was great. So, you know, and not too far away. So, you know, if people get the chance and they really have a hankering for some good seafood and some casual afternoon explosions, go check out Baltimore and Annapolis. So that's what I was doing. Rich, what were you up to this past weekend?
So I caught up on Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, nice.
Last week was all DC for me because I had to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League.
17-hour Snyder Cut.
Yeah, so that took up that weekend. So I was behind on Marvel. But now I caught up to the first two episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't know why.
I keep messing up the name too.
Really? You're the same thing?
Yeah. Why is it so weird? Why can I not say the name?
I know. I keep thinking it's Captain Falcon.
No, I keep wanting to call it just Winter Soldier. Last week when I was trying to talk about it, I had to keep stopping myself.
No, every time
Captain Falcon.
Yeah,
I like that.
Every time I tell Rachel, like, hey, let's put on Captain Falcon. She's like, what are you talking about? What is Captain Falcon?
Oh, my God. Good old Captain Falcon. And so how do you like Captain Falcon?
I like it. Good. Yeah, and I get what you say. It's more of a spy thriller more than kind of a general superhero tone like WandaVision is, yeah. Which is good for me. I am finding it really interesting, but I'm interested to see how it develops and will it stay with this kind of, with this current path that they're on, or will they try and throw more Marvel Avenger-y elements into it? So we'll see. There are only two episodes in, so you can still get on the bandwagon if you missed the first episode like I did because of Snyder Cut owning your whole weekend. So I'm happy to be back on the Marvel bandwagon with that.
Yeah. Woo.
Other TV news, I'm very, on the flip side, I'm disappointed in a channel Stars, whatever, they suck.
What did they do to you that you hate them so much?
They canceled one of my favorite shows, American Gods. Those bastards. I know production was very troublesome and every season took much longer than it should have to film and complete, and they had like showrunners getting fired halfway through each season.
That's not good.
Yeah, it was just plagued for a show about gods and curses and stuff. This show was actually cursed, but it had a charm to it, and I was kind of hoping it would, you know, I hope it was going to be the wobbly wheel that still somehow rolled on down the hill and survived. But unfortunately, it wasn't. Whatever this stupid channel is called. They made the wrong decision and canceled it, so I'm very disappointed on the other end of the spectrum. So it's been a very weird, bittersweet weekend when it came to TV for me.
Great successes and horrible failures. You should read the book, though. It's based on a book by Neil Gaiman, and have it. I read like 50 pages. I always wanted to go back to it. Very interested in it. Is the show good?
It is. I liked it. I thought it was fantastic. But yeah, a lot of problems behind the scenes, unfortunately. And you couple that with COVID, plus it took, you know, it literally took, I think, 2 years between season two and season three.
Ooh, that's so, a really long production cycle.
Yeah, it lost its way. So unfortunately, I understand why, but it still hurts. So your starts, as far as I'm concerned, that's whatever channel crap.
Call
name.
It Sharks. Call
Sharks.
It Sharks.
Yeah, whatever your stupid channel name is. Speaking of bittersweet moments, this is probably the last time we're going to do this special segment, with it being the last week of March, last day of March, actually, tonight. So interesting. I didn't even realize that. Tomorrow's April Fool's Day when this comes out on audio. The old-fashioned podcast, if you will.
The old-fashioned way, yeah.
We're that old, Mike, by the way. We've now transcended different mediums.
Yeah, man.
But anyway, the live version of this show is still March. And yeah, this is probably the last time I'm going to do a looking back on 1 year of this COVID pandemic. So at this time, we were episode two into the Crispy Compact Communique. And I think it was starting to settle in that this was going to be kind of more serious than we had anticipated. The government lockdowns were in effect this time last year. We were all staying at home. Stay-at-home orders were prevalent. I noted on the podcast that I enjoyed it because I caught up on video games, but it was, you know, it was a lockdown. It was, you had to stay at home. You couldn't go anywhere. It was pretty serious.
Yeah, I remember I was just listening to the first couple of minutes before we started recording, and you know, both of us said, yeah, it's not so bad. You know, people are complaining about staying at home. We're like, this is great. We're watching TV. We're watching movies. We're playing video games. You know, as the weeks went on, it definitely started to wear on us. And now 50 some odd weeks into it, we're like, this is just life now in 2021. I also made the crack early on in that episode that 2020, or rather that in 2019, I had gotten into the habit of saying 2019 is the stupidest timeline. And then 2020 came roaring in. Yep. Now I'm afraid to say that about any year because look at 2021 so far.
Yeah, like, ready for 2021. This is going to be another stupid year.
No. I'm saying this is going to be a brilliant year because God forbid if I say it's going to be but if I say it's going to be a stupid timeline, 2022 is going to be even worse, Rich. That's what's been happening.
No, Mike, you can't stop this. This is just a this is just a continual decline of our culture.
Did I start it by calling 2019 the stupidest timeline over and over and over again? And the time gods were like, no.
Yep, you started it, and now it's a ball rolling down a hill. You can't stop
it. It's the Titanic. We can't turn this ship around.
Yeah, right. And there's no door to float on either.
Oh, damn. Well, it's okay. Only one of us would be able to fit on it.
Get off of it, Mike!
That's a debate for another time.
I think this is the third time we've teased that conversation in like the last five episodes.
You know, eventually we're going to have to talk about Titanic and where we stand on it.
Yeah, eventually we're going to have to, I think, at some point. But
when the news dries up. But unfortunately, the news is not drying up. We have tons of news to get to, of course. I'm just going to kick things off. The first topic, of course, NFL news. We have an update on the Deshaun Watson situation here. Deshaun Watson now facing up to 21 civil suits against him. The latest ones are now claiming that he's deleting Instagram messages and that he's contacting women that are named in the suits through intermediaries. And all that seems very untoward. On the flip side of things, we also have 18 women now providing statements in support of Watson, saying that they've collectively given him over 100 and some odd massages over the years and that he's been nothing but professional. Meanwhile, the civil suit lawyer has not yet brought evidence to police or investigators. So it's a very, very messy situation. The thing that I take away from it is, why are you getting hundreds of massages from so many different women? It's a little strange, but it's like over 130. It just seems very, very frequent to me.
Well, I mean, as an NFL player, I'm sure after every game, you're sore
as
hell.
Don't they have team doctors and stuff for that?
Maybe. Well, Deshaun Watson is now getting paid, so I mean, now he wants the cute girl or something to give him the massage and not the 300-pound athletic coordinator.
I'm just saying, when I saw that number, I was like, that's a lot of massages, buddy. That's like one every 3 days. But anyway, so
yeah.
That aside, what do you make of this situation? It's a very messy, dicey situation.
It is. I really don't know how to make heads or tails of it. My big thing is I'm kind of surprised that with this many lawsuits and this many accusations, I would think the cops would want to investigate this and do a criminal, or at least just a bare something. I would figure the cops would want to investigate. But we also had a quote from the Houston police staff that says that as of now, they are not filing criminal charges against Deshaun Watson. So it's like, I don't know, like, how serious is, like, I don't know. I don't know. To me, it seems like if there's this many people, shouldn't there be some sort of an investigation by the police?
You'd think that the police would want to investigate, but somebody has to press charges. And I guess you can still have somebody do something like this and have it not be a criminal offense. If nobody's going to press charges, then there's no criminal case. But it doesn't take away anything that he potentially did.
Yeah.
But it's very alarming that there's this many people involved in the lawsuit, and that it seems like this whole thing is being tried over Instagram. You know, between Watson's lawyer being on Instagram and Watson contacting the people over Instagram, it's almost like trial via social media, which I'm not a fan of. I wish that, you know, you'd get to the point where you stop collecting the lawsuits and actually do something about it. If he's doing this to women, then it's time to bring it to court. It's time to force people to come and hear the case. Because right now it's just in this holding pattern of he said, she said, you know, and they're just like collecting ammunition on each side. And at a certain point it has to amount to something, right? Yeah. So it's just like, I'm getting a little tired of the, he said, she said, you know, I want them to actually take some action here on it one way or the other, you know, to find out what actually happened. But right now it seems like this is going to be the course that it's going to take for a while. The Houston Texans and the NFL, of course, are probably going to look into it as well. So as we get updates on those two groups, we will continue to update here. I would be shocked if Watson wasn't suspended, have some sort of suspension or disciplinary action from the league or the Texans, given all this, but we'll see.
Yeah, he should get something, but I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea where to go with these allegations, because it seems shocking that it's up to 21.
But 21 is a lot.
Yeah, but at the same time, no action on the criminal side either. I don't know. It's just, it's a whole big bag of, I don't know.
Yeah. Watson's lawyer needs to actually take action. You know, it's one thing to keep saying it over Instagram, but you need to actually, if you have this many people making complaints, then do right by them and actually do something with that information. Right. Yeah. So we'll keep you guys updated on the situation. I don't think we're going to see a big change in it in at least the next couple of weeks. But one thing that is changing, of course, is the landscape of NFL free agency. And there's a lot of big moves that we have to get to. Before we get to the big free agency moves, we got to talk about a team that hasn't been making free agency moves. The Baltimore Ravens, Rich, are running into a little bit of a sticky situation here with getting weapons for Lamar Jackson. I know this is a topic that you wanted to talk about specifically. What's going on? Why do you hate the Baltimore Ravens?
I mean, I don't hate the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes,
but
you do. Don't lie. You hate them. No, I'm kidding. No.
You were just at the stadium, so we don't hate the Baltimore Ravens. No. But this is an interesting story that came across my news feed. Because the Ravens, they were the number one rushing offense actually pretty consistently since Lamar Jackson has been on this team. But the problem has been that, obviously, since they rely so much on the run, their passing game just never develops. And they just kind of corner themselves in and become one-dimensional on the offensive side of the ball. And they just kind of rely on Lamar Jackson to take over games. Well, you know, unfortunately, you can't do that every game. You know, eventually the luck runs out. That 1 year, I think it was the Chargers, they literally just put seven defensive backs on the field and was just like, go ahead, throw it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And they won. They won that game. So eventually, you know, the luck runs out. You can't rely on Lamar Jackson just scrambling and scrambling and scrambling. As a result of this, going into free agency, the Ravens were looking to find significant receiving weapons for Lamar Jackson so that they could develop his passing game.
Right.
Two of their big targets, they were going after Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a free agent until he went back to the Steelers, and T.Y. Hilton. So they were gunning for, you know, a real significant wide receiver one to develop Lamar Jackson. And both
right.
of
Makes
those
sense.
Right. It does. You need, at some point he has to throw the ball.
You need balance. You need balance.
You know, even Bill Belichick with Cam Newton realized you can't run the ball the entire game. At some point you're going to have to call a pass. I don't care who the Broncos threw in a wide receiver as their quarterback. At some point you got to pass the ball. That's just the way the game is. So the Ravens, they were going to target a wide receiver one, but unfortunately they really didn't land anybody until they recently signed Sammy Watkins, who was a free agent from Kansas City. But even then he's not like a true,
he was like the fourth or fifth option probably.
Yeah.
Like
it's still nice that they brought in a decent weapon, but he's not a wide receiver one.
No, he's not a take over the game type wide receiver.
Correct. He's more of a good supporting character. When he's a wide receiver two or a wide receiver three, that's when he shines. But if he's the number one wide receiver, no, I don't think it's going to be a good time. So all this was developing, and then this report hit the news feed that I really liked, that ESPN has this report saying that the free agent wide receivers, particularly Juju and T.Y. Hilton, outright, quote, dismissed any offers from the Ravens because of the fact that this offense runs too much, because John Harbaugh apparently doesn't value wide receivers, even going so far to say, quote, I'm not going to beg a wide receiver to come to Baltimore. And then this little fun fact that I didn't know, their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, his weird system, he values blocking above everybody else, and that's literally everybody on the team, including wide receivers. So the wide receivers, who's supposed to be their job is to catch the ball, he values their blocking over their hands and their ability to create separation and normal attributes that you would assign to a wide receiver.
That's all very strange, and it's the perfect storm for scaring off a wide receiver. Look, wide receivers in the league have this sort of, it's just a character trait that most wide receivers are kind of diva-ish, right? They're playmakers. They want the ball. They know what they can do with the ball in their hands. So they want to be the guy who gets the ball. So they're not going to want to go to a team that's not going to give them the ball. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, think about any job that you do. If you want to do A and your potential employer says, we're going to have you do everything but A, you're not going to want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, it's common sense. So I'm not shocked that the Ravens couldn't land a big name wide receiver. I'm not shocked that Juju didn't want to go there. I mean, it's a division rival. He probably likes being with the Steelers. He's had success with the Steelers. Why would he want to go to the Ravens and, you know, slowly fade off into obscurity? The Ravens, I think they shot themselves in the foot. I mean, they're setting up a team in which they're going to be incredibly one dimensional. We saw that this past year. They struggled. You know, this past year in ways that they hadn't in previous years, because teams are starting to catch on. And that's what happens when teams catch on. The NFL is very quick to adapt. There's very smart people in the NFL. You know, even teams that aren't very good, they have some good minds there. And once they crack the code, and, you know, it seems like they're cracking the code of Lamar Jackson, it becomes more and more difficult to ride that one trick pony. So yeah, this was their opportunity to flesh it out and balance their attack, and they whiffed. They whiffed big time, I think.
Yeah, but isn't it weird that, like, they can't even almost help themselves now? They've gotten to this weird point where, since they're so known for running the ball, that
they would need to do a lot of work to convince a free agent wide receiver. Like, they need to start, like, a PR campaign almost where they're like, no, we like throwing the ball. Unfortunately, the way that Jackson plays and the way that the team is built, even this year, we're not going to see that. It's going to be hard for them to convince wide receivers in the future that this is a place they should come, because they're already built for the run. So this year, they can't just start airing it out. You know, maybe they can rely on Sammy Watkins a bit more, but they can't go from like an 80% running team to all of a sudden tossing bombs every other play to convince wide receivers they got to throw the ball more, but they're built to not throw the ball.
Yeah.
So it's a feedback loop.
It's a catch 22. They don't know. They can't really fix themselves.
Right.
Which is
weird. They would need a philosophical shift with the team, which would be hard to do at this point.
Yeah.
So
I just thought that was an interesting story that hit the ESPN newswire. Good luck to Baltimore. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is maybe you get lucky in the draft and maybe you scoop up a wide receiver that was underrated in the later rounds or something.
It's supposed to be a good draft for wide receivers, from what I understand. But, so
yeah, that's all I can think of, because right now it's just the persona is just not there to attract wide receivers.
Yeah.
Speaking of the draft, we had a major trade. Well, two major trades that happened. It's weird.
Right.
This feels like this was a weird three-team trade, but it didn't exactly happen that way. But nevertheless,
it almost is. Yeah.
Yeah. So to recap, basically the 49ers have gone all in this year. They've acquired the number 3 overall draft pick from Miami, who earned that from the Texans. Sorry, Texans. You guys are just, just going to suck forever, apparently. They could go 0-17, which we'll get to in a little bit. So the 49ers have the number 3rd overall spot. Then the Eagles traded with the Dolphins. So the Dolphins could move back into the top 10. So Miami now has the number 6 overall pick. But throughout it all, the Dolphins still gained a future first-round draft pick. So they're sitting pretty. And then the Eagles for trading back to number 12.
Number 12.
They will get a future first-round draft pick as well. So all this confusion, Mike, what do you sift from this? Are you happy? Are you sad? Is this...
Well, I mean, we've been saying it for months now that the Eagles are in full rebuild mode, and nothing says full rebuild mode like trading down and scooping up as many draft picks as possible. I mean, it was the Browns strategy a couple years ago where they were just collecting and collecting and collecting.
It was the Dolphins too.
It was the Dolphins too. Yeah. So, you know, I got to admit, I saw the news and I was so disappointed. It's typical Eagles trade down out of a prime draft spot just outside the top 5. To now the 12th pick. You know, you have your sights set on the big name players, Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Kyle Pitts. Maybe one of those quarterbacks falls out of the top 5. Now you're like, okay, maybe we'll get a defensive end or an offensive tackle. You know, so it's very much in line with how the Eagles approach the draft. Overall, though, this could be beneficial because next year we could have, most likely we'll have 3 first round draft picks. And if there's an opportunity to move up and get a big playmaker, it would be next year where you package 2 of those first round picks, you leap up into the top 5 and you get, you know, a premier talent. This year though, basically what it's saying is that the Eagles are content with their skill positions players, because I don't think any of those big wide receivers fall out of that top 10, right? Certainly none of the quarterbacks are going to fall out of the top 10. No. So you're guaranteed to run with Hurts, as we already knew. So, I'm looking at, you know, offensive line, defensive line, potentially corner. There's a couple of corners that they really like, but we're looking at another classic safe Eagles draft. And the more I look at it, depending on how the draft day order shakes out, they could even move back into the 20s. If they see an offensive lineman that they like and think might be there in the 20s, they could trade back again.
Stop giving Howie ideas.
Look, I'm better at being Howie Roseman than Howie Roseman is at being Howie Roseman. Rich, what do you make of this trade? You know, I gave my 2 cents. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Is this just typical Eagles draft?
It is. It's, I hate to say it, but we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming.
And the Eagles have a chance to take a premier talent. What do? They get scared and they trade down.
Yeah.
It's a tale as old as time.
But there's also another factor in this, and that's the fact that COVID-19 affected the college football season this past season.
Indeed.
They only played, you know, half or maybe 3/4 of the usual schedule that they that the college season would be. So you're dealing with judging players on a very limited test sample as opposed to your normal sample. That kind of was the sign to me that I don't think Howie would be in the mood to risk, you know, a 6 overall pick on, you know, a quarterback or something, or, you know, some big splashy move with that number 6 overall pick. So I think, you know, it was written in the cards, but still it's disappointing because you are right. This would have been the chance to grab, you know, probably that number 1 wide receiver that the Eagles just never seem to get a hold of. It's just never in the cards. We're never going to get a true number 1 wide receiver.
No.
The last time we had one was Terrell Owens.
Yes. Yes. The very outside chance argument could be made for DeSean Jackson, but even then, that's a tough argument to make. T.O. was the last, dominant, game-changing, like, definitive wide receiver 1.
Yeah.
We had a chance to get, you know, a Julio Jones-type player in Jamar Chase, but or Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is listed as a tight end. He ran a 4.44 40 time, fast as some of the wide receivers. So, you know, I don't think any of these guys are falling out of the top 10.
No, so I don't think so either.
If I were the Eagles, this is what I would do, honestly. I would take that 12th spot because you're not going to get one of the flashy playmakers. So, like I said, you're looking at somebody who could potentially drop into the 20s if you're looking offensive, defensive line. You take that first pick, you package it with Zach Ertz, and you pick up another first-round pick in 2022. Four first-round picks in 2022. I say you go. Look, they're not going to admit it openly, but this year's a wash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on now. This year's a wash. I mean, if we get more than 6 wins, I'd be absolutely flabbergasted. So they have to own it, like the Miami Dolphins and the Browns owned it. And you just got to stockpile.
Which is why they should have brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. They should have brought Fitzmagic in, and it would have been an awesome tanking season. But
no. An awesome tanking season. You would have seen some fireworks.
Yeah. Speaking of winning 6 games, that may be more easy. I don't know. Would it be easier or harder? I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
This is now official. The symmetry has been ruined. 40 years of statistics and consistency, all ruined, all down the drain, because the NFL has now officially expanded to a 17-game season. It is happening, whether you like it or not. The Eagles will go to the New York Jets as their bonus 17th game. All the AFC teams, congratulations. You get an extra home game for some godforsaken reason. And this is the way it is. So, Mike, what do you think? 17 games is now happening.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it the past couple of years about how this was what the NFL was looking at. And I got to admit, I'm not a fan of this for a few reasons. One, it ruins the symmetry. Two, I don't like the extra stress and toll it puts on players. Three, I had another point that I can't remember now. So
was it the alternating home game?
The alternating home game is obnoxious, but also you mentioned something about consistency, and you know, something about football that I always appreciated is that it has this legacy of these markers that you can judge teams, historic teams by. And for the past 40 some years, we've been able to measure everybody on a 16 game season scale. Right now with 17 games, you know, we talked about how 3,000 yards used to be impressive. Then it was 4,000 yards being impressive in terms of passing yards. Now with 17 games, you know, my uncle always says to me, because he's from, you know, way back in the day watching old football, he's like, when a running back used to run for 1,000 yards, he did it in 12 games.
Yeah.
So how does this affect record books? Because now you have Joe Schmo running for 1,500 yards, and does it matter? I mean, is one game going to make a difference? That could be another 120, 130-yard rushing game. That could move somebody from, you know, just an average running back to all of a sudden breaking records that have stood the test of time for decades. Does that make me a baseball-esque traditionalist? Perhaps.
Speaking of that, by the way, baseball begins this week. Sorry, I totally forgot about that. Yay,
you
baseball.
Blanked on that. There you go.
Whoops.
But I think there is something to be said about now you're changing the historical context of the game and the records and the stats. You know, how do we measure, you know, the greats of today against the greats of yesteryear? But more practically, as it stands now, I don't think 17 games is the end. I think they're going to move to 18. We talked about this already because I think it's BS that 16 teams get an extra home game and 16 teams have to go on the road again. And there's only one bye week. I think the goal, mark my words, the goal here is 18 games, 2 bye weeks, make it a nice, even 20-week schedule, 5 months. They want to dominate from mid-August all the way through to the end of February.
Oh yeah.
That's just, I think that's really, they're looking to get that winter break. You know, they already have so much TV revenue and TV space during the winter when all the shows go on hiatus. They want to suck up as much of that as they can. So I think that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. 18 games is the end game here. Cause this 17 game nonsense, it's going to last 4 seasons.
It doesn't make any sense.
It'll last 4 seasons. You'll get 2-2, and then after that point, the owners are going to get together, and they're going to be like, no, we're losing a game, you know, if we get the short end of the stick that year. So, yeah, I'm with you. The end game is going to be getting an 18-game season. Yeah. Ironically, the voting list came out on this.
Okay, interesting. I want to see this.
Every single team owner voted in favor of the 17-game season, except one. Mike, would you like to take a guess at which team it was?
I actually know the answer because I saw the headline.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, it's the Chicago Bears, I think.
Yeah, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Why do they want a 17 games? They don't want you to see a 17th game of Andy Dalton or Nick Foles. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can't subject our fans to an extra game of this trash.
Please don't. Help. we're willing to give up money and revenue. Please don't.
That's how you know it's bad. If you want a marker of a bad team, you look at the team that wants to give up extra revenue because they don't want to play another game. That's pretty bad. That's actually really funny. Yeah, I did see that the Bears were that voted no, but I didn't realize they were the only team.
They were the only team. Everybody else voted in favor of it.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Bears are the only ones that have the right idea, because I got to tell you, I'm not completely sold on this 17th game. Look, I won't say no to more football, but it does still bug me.
Yeah.
I hate the lack of symmetry. I hate the lack of consistency. I hate this weird extra away game that the Eagles have to play and not get an extra bye week.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
And it's another point that you mentioned. It's another game for players to get hurt, you know, suffer, you know, a bigger injury, you know. I don't like it.
And I actually watched a brief debate between Stephen A. Smith and Dan Orlovsky, where Stephen A. Smith was saying they'll start implementing load management in the NFL now, like you see in basketball, where players just take a game off. And he was really fired up about it. He was convinced that teams would find a way, quote unquote. And Dan Orlovsky came back and he said, which game do you choose to have your starting quarterback sit out?
Yeah.
What if it's the game that's the difference between making the playoffs and missing it? There's only 17 games now. You don't have 82 games to fool around.
Yeah, I don't think that theory can work in the NFL.
You have a roster of 40-some people who dress on game day. Who do you choose to sit every week? You know?
I mean, the best example I can think of in terms of load management is Drew Brees, because he would get hurt, you know, like kind of like week 7, week 8, and the Saints would purposely keep him out for like a significant, you know, 6 or 7 week period, and then bring him back towards the end of the season to go on a postseason run. And
yeah, where does it get him?
Yeah, they had some success, but they never went back to the Super Bowl. It doesn't work in football. It's very tough because you need to not just have good players. They all have to gel at the right time.
It works in basketball when it's 1 out of 5, but when you have 22 players that essentially 22 starters, you know, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, it becomes really messy trying to figure out who gets to sit and who doesn't. And for teams that already employ a rotation like the Eagles with our defensive linemen, how do you choose 2 or 3 guys to sit for load management?
Yeah. It's tough.
What happens if you sit your quarterback and then the quarterback in there gets injured? Now all of a sudden you're on your third quarterback. You know, like it becomes,
bring
out the kicker. Right. You become the Denver Broncos. There's more problems than there are benefits to this, I think,
which is why it's perfect to lay the groundwork for an inevitable 18 game season.
Right. Exactly.
That's really the end game.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of end game, that's the end of sports. Let's move to entertainment news. This is an interesting story that Mike found about SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants, yeah, making
we're
the news.
We're talking about SpongeBob. Here we go.
Talking about SpongeBob.
Welcome to 2021.
Nothing makes sense anymore. And that's what people are saying about SpongeBob SquarePants. They don't understand why this happened here. So with the advent of Paramount Plus, everybody's been diving back in and watching all the Nickelodeon classics, which are part of the streaming package. And they happen to notice that there are 2 episodes missing from the SpongeBob catalog, midlife crustacean and quarantined crab. And people are a little annoyed that these two episodes have been pulled from rotation due to storyline concerns. So just to give you a brief synopsis of the episodes in question, Midlife Crustacean is an episode that aired back in 2003. Mr. Krabs has a midlife crisis. SpongeBob and Patrick want to help him out, show him a good time. So they decide to go on a panty raid, and they break into a woman's house and steal her panties. It ends up being Mr. Krabs' mom's house, so it's bad, but it's not as bad, I guess, if they had just broken into a random woman's house. But I guess you can kind of see why Nickelodeon and Paramount might be hesitant to put this kid show available for streaming out there. The other episode is a little bit more cut and dry. Quarantined Krab is about a viral outbreak in which people are quarantined inside the Krusty Krab. And as the characters become more suspicious of the others, they throw them in the freezer. So you can see why that one was clearly pulled from rotation given the current times. However, the big issue here is the overarching debate about the censorship of content, right? People are annoyed that these two episodes were pulled from rotation. And I guess, Rich, I want to get your two cents on, because we've talked about subjects similar to this in the past, but what do you think about Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon really pulling these not just from Paramount Plus, but streaming services like Amazon as well, making these episodes unavailable to watch or obtain?
Yeah, I don't like that aspect of this. Anytime you deal with a past form of media, especially one that has significant time, you know, that you haven't seen it in a while, there may be elements that you don't like or that are crude or that you might find offensive. But to me, that should be on the individual watcher to discern whether or not you want to watch that content or not. I don't like it that the streaming service is coming down and making the decision on your behalf on it. That doesn't seem right to me. Right. You know, a couple months ago, we had the Mad Men controversy that, you know, there's an episode where Roger Sterling, he does a performance in blackface.
Happened with Community too, as well.
And the whole point of it is to show you that this was accepted in the 60s and everything like that. And then the fact that people wanted it to be removed, it's like a weird, I don't think you're getting the message of it. We're trying to explain to you that it is wrong to do blackface, and why did we accept this as a society?
Right.
That was kind of the message of it. Not that we like it. That gets confused sometimes in the middle of this. I don't understand how that happens, but nevertheless, I think it should be up to the individual viewer to discern what they want to watch, what they deem as offensive on their own terms. If you find it offensive or you find it off-putting, then don't watch it. Move on to the next episode on your own terms. I don't like it that the streaming service themselves is the moral authority determining which is right and which is wrong. I don't like the sound of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm all in favor of more progressive ideals, but I don't think that censoring content is the way to go, because artistic endeavors are sort of like a time capsule, right? Where you kind of see, like you mentioned, where society was at. It's also a teaching moment, right? And if you just remove it from the annals of content history, then you're not solving the problem. You're just pretending like it didn't happen, which is equally as problematic. So I know people trash on Disney, but I like what Disney Plus did, where they have a disclaimer at the start of some content, older content that is sometimes questionable, that's saying, you know, this was created in an era where, you know, where we didn't have the same societal views and it may be deemed inappropriate. Now, I feel like a disclaimer is a much better way to handle it than just outright removing it.
Yeah.
Because if you outright remove it, then you're pretending like it didn't happen, right? And you're taking away that opportunity to to teach and learn about it, to see where society was at and go, God, you know, we've come, you know, far from that. And we can't believe that that was once acceptable. So, you know, you still need, I just don't like the idea of content being erased and pretending like it didn't happen. That doesn't sit well. It's very dystopian.
Yeah.
To pretend like something never happened, right? And sometimes it gets lost in the conversation. Like, yes, I'm all for being progressive and being, you know, more sensitive to issues like this, but erasing it, I don't think is the way to go, right? It's the same thing with cancel culture. You don't want to pretend like it didn't happen. You need to address it, right?
Yeah.
So I think it would have been better to address it, right, and put a content warning, then remove it completely.
Right. That would probably have been the better answer to this. I don't know why it's so hard for people to just avoid content you don't want to watch. Like, seriously, if I watch a new show and there's something in it that I find offensive, then I would either jump to the next episode or stop watching. Like that's right. What I do. And then that's it. I go about my day. Like,
right.
I don't understand where this outrage is coming. People just must have free time. They just have nothing better to do than complain.
Well, it's interesting because now the outrage is coming because they took the shows away. So it's one or the other. It's either I can't believe they allow this or I can't believe they removed this, where there needs to be a happy medium of, you know, keeping it available, but making people aware that it's inappropriate.
Well, that's the disclaimer.
Exactly. And I want to make a distinction here. We're not talking about content that is blatantly offensive, right? Whose goal is to offend and be, you know, and to marginalize. We're talking about things like the Mad Men episode or like this SpongeBob episode, which is inadvertently inappropriate given, you know, what people were thinking at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's if something you can tell the difference between something that was created with the intent to hurt and degrade and something that was just not well thought out.
Right.
You know.
So another thing that I'm going to probably have to defend in the next 5 or 10 years okay. is James Bond. You go back and rewatch some of the early Sean Connery James Bond. It is, you know,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally a scene where Bond sends two girls away because it's time for man talk, you know, so he can get his mission. Like women can't even understand the concept of I'm going to have a secret, you know, a private conversation over here.
It's
time for
man talk. Right. Wow. I mean, that, you know, it's pretty bad. But again, don't just erase the movie.
Right. That's
right.
Yeah. You have to take it with a grain of salt. The movie was made in 1963. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
right.
Are you going to time travel and tell everybody that they're wrong from 1963?
Like, because here's the thing. As every generation comes and goes, I think that they like to think that they're like the most forward-thinking progressive generation there is. And we know that, I mean, historically, Rich, our generation, you know, used to use words that are probably deemed offensive now. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't erase that moment in history. What we can do is acknowledge that it happened and then, you know, warn against it or have a disclaimer,
yeah.
Right? So you can't, I'm against the wholesale erasure of content like that.
Yeah, me too. So,
which very quickly leads us to our next topic. I want to touch on this just briefly. I know we probably ran over on that one. But talking about the erasure of content, this news headline also hit my newsfeed. Sony is shutting down the PlayStation 3, PlayStation Portable, and PlayStation Vita digital stores. And this, of course, is resurfacing the age-old debate about digital versus physical releases. Because as the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Portable stores shut down in July, and the PlayStation Vita store shuts down in August, customers will only be able to re-download and play previously purchased content. They won't be able to make new purchases, and they won't be able to make in-game purchases or redeem PlayStation Store gift cards on those consoles. So it might not seem like a big deal now that we're on the PlayStation 5, but think of it this way. if somebody has the PlayStation 3, they haven't yet had a chance to upgrade to one of the newer consoles, they want to play Portal 2, and they don't own Portal 2. They won't be able to go and purchase Portal 2 on the digital store. Unless they can obtain a physical disc, that game no longer exists for them. And a library of games is potentially vanished now. Rich, what do you think?
I hate to say it. This gives much more credence to PC gaming. Because when you have these games on PC, they stick with you. You just have to update, you know, your operating system, your graphics cards, your, you know, stuff like that. But as long as you've got the entity on your computer or in a Steam account or something like that, it stays with you no matter what computer you're on.
Well, to be clear, you can always re-download something you already bought. You just can't buy, you can't buy it anymore.
Yeah.
Like if you've already purchased it, you can re-download it, but you can't say get a PlayStation Vita and download a new game.
Right.
Because there will be, so it's whatever you have now. So I guess this is a warning for anybody that has one of these older systems. If you want a game that's on one of those systems, you got to go out and get it now.
Yeah.
Because you might not be able to download it.
Yep.
You know, by the summer.
And I guess what I'm just, you know, it seems like when you compare that to how PC gaming works, it's starting to tilt the favor in terms of, you know, PC gaming. The only problem is right now you can't get a graphics card. That's actually the problem getting into PC gaming. So, you know, maybe that'll help Sony and Xbox still keep customers. But yeah, this is just an unfortunate limitation with console gaming is you are limited to those eras. And, you know, when a system shuts down, you know, that this happens.
Yeah, it's a shame to see these stores go away. You know, I was thinking, I don't really go back and ever play the PlayStation 3, so it doesn't really bother me. And then I considered, you know, people that maybe missed out on some of those great PlayStation 3 games, you know, some of those great Sony exclusives that haven't been brought forward. Now it's, if they don't have them already, it's going to be impossible to go back and experience them. They just won't exist digitally.
Yeah.
Like maybe you can find a disc, but as we move further and further into the digital landscape, you know, what if somebody who just bought a digital only PlayStation 5, and let's fast forward to the PlayStation 8, and they shut down the PlayStation 5 store. They have no way of getting a PlayStation 5 disc. Their only way to get it was digital. So if they missed out on a PlayStation 5 game, you know, and I'm looking like 15 years into the future, but the argument still stands that a library of games is going to vanish.
Yep.
Right? For people that haven't played it. If you do have it, fantastic. You can always re-download it, but it's preventing people that haven't played it yet from playing it. And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
But sad to see them go, but this is going to be the future of digital gaming. So this is something to keep in mind. If you're thinking about, you want to hold on to a game, get a physical version, you know?
Or go to PC. yeah. Gotta love my friends at PC Master Race. okay. So there you go. We are done entertainment. It is time for some odd news. Mike, I am happy to say that we do have a Florida Man odd news story. So if you want to take the reins here.
Who are these effing guys in Florida? It's Florida and they're crazy.
All right. Well, guess what? I have another twist.
Uh-oh.
It isn't just a Florida man.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It is the Florida man.
The Florida man.
The
Wait,
Florida
is it
man.
The guy with the tattoo on his forehead?
That's right.
No.
This is just a simple story, but I just love the fact that I can bring him back on the podcast because everyone's favorite Florida man was arrested again because he no-showed his court hearing. So he's back. He's back, everyone. For those that don't know, I have a mugshot on the screen right now. He's literally Florida man because he literally has Florida tattooed to his forehead. He's back, everybody. There he is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Literally the tattoo is in between his two eyebrows.
Yeah,
like you cannot hide it.
the first time we talked about this story, we talked about, you know, how dumb it was and also what would be the dumbest state to get tattooed on your forehead. I really love the fact that this guy has become sort of like the mascot of Florida. I mean, with it tattooed to your forehead, you have to be.
He has to be.
Right? I think what should happen is Florida should, you know, acquit him of all his crimes and clear his name from the books and the records, right? Clear his criminal record and make him a mascot and put him to work.
Yeah.
Right? You talk about rehabilitating criminals. This is how you do it, folks. Right? You clear his record. You make him a mascot. You put him to work. You put him out on the street twirling a sign. He goes to Florida events. He's selling t-shirts and hats to kids. This is how you rehabilitate a criminal, right? This is how you bring him back into the fold of society and make him a contributing member of this proud Floridian community.
Screw Captain America. Screw Captain Falcon. It's time for Captain Florida. Let's have him be Captain Florida.
Damn straight. I like it. Marvel, get on it. Make him a superhero.
He's already got the logo and the invitation.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't need makeup.
Like, you don't need any makeup or branding. He's done it for you.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, if you get a state tattooed on your forehead, you're destined to be an idiot criminal. I'm sorry. I can't envision a world in which getting that type of tattoo doesn't automatically brand you as a dumb criminal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can't just be like casually a regular person and have a state tattooed to your forehead.
You can't get a normal job with that.
No, those Venn diagrams do not cross. You cannot be a normal functioning person to have a state tattooed to your forehead. If somebody has evidence otherwise, let me know. Send me the evidence. I want to see a normal functioning person with a state shape tattooed on their forehead.
Also, who was the tattoo artist that actually let this happen? You know?
That guy is the true criminal.
Yeah.
How does somebody come into your shop and they're like, I want Florida tattooed on my forehead? And you just go, okay. Like, I get it. A job's a job and he's paying you money. But really, like, do you have no sense of values and principles? You're just gonna go through with this? I wouldn't. If I were a tattoo artist, I'd be like, no. I'm like, buddy, you need to seriously reconsider this.
So, you know, this is actually funny. This is another weird tie-in. Did you know that there's a reality TV show like American Idol, but like it's for tattoo artists?
I think I've seen something like that. It's like Ink Master.
Yeah, Ink Master. Yeah.
Oh, is that actually the?
Yeah.
So how does it work? It's American Idol style. People compete with.
Yeah, it's basically American Idol, but tattoo artists. They compete.
Interesting.
But so here's a part. So I got bored, and me, Rachel, we watched like a couple episodes.
Very bored, apparently.
So. COVID-19. This is the era we live in.
Right?
Yeah. So part of the dilemma is you have to listen. And instead of customers, they call them canvas. I have to listen to my canvas.
Yeah. Ooh, I hate that. Yeah, I don't like
weird.
That.
Yeah, that part's weird. But so anyway, they have to listen to what the person wants tattooed. And right. Where they think they want it to be tattooed. And then it's up to the tattoo artist to tell them, is that a good spot or would I recommend another location? So don't give me this BS that the customer's always right. Uh-uh. I watched Ink Master. It is part of the tattoo artist's
code.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a code, but it's part of their responsibility. Well, you're really trying to make this superhero. Yeah. Justice. Tattoo justice. And the American way. but it's part of their job that they're supposed to tell you whether or not, you know, hey, I think this might look better on your shoulder you know, I don't know.
Well, because it reflects badly on you as a tattoo artist if you just start tattooing stuff to people's foreheads.
Yeah, like this Florida man.
Because also think of it this way. If you mess up, it's always on that guy's forehead.
Yeah.
Like that is like an indictment on your talent as a tattoo artist. Like you make like one wrong mistake. It's boom. It's right there.
Yeah. You can't even hide it with a hat. It's too far down south.
You can't pull a hat down that far and be covering his eyes.
Yeah.
So. I simultaneously hate and love the Florida Man. And I think, Rich, that if ever we do a Best of Odd News episode again, you know, once we resume normal podcasting, we absolutely have to remember the Florida Man. And we have to put these two segments together, because I just, and you know, he's going to come back. He has to come back.
Yeah.
He already missed one court date. I mean,
he's gonna miss another one.
He's gonna miss another one, right? You don't just start casually missing court dates and not keep missing court dates, right?
Yeah. So I guess I'll just read the rest of the story, but it's pretty self-explanatory. So he did not appear for his initial court hearing, so he was issued an arrest warrant. The Florida Man himself, his name is Matthew Kyle Lethem. He did turn himself in, so, all right, a little slight responsible point.
I mean, I guess, yeah.
He was released after 2 hours in custody. According to paperwork, he just got a job as a cook. Hey, there you go.
He's already turning things around. Nice.
Hey, there you go. He's going to be a cook. He's cooking your dishes in Florida.
Oh, my God.
There you go. That man is cooking your food.
I would eat something made by him, definitely.
So, there you go. Florida Man, we salute you. We hope you succeed. We hope you become the superhero Florida needs.
We hope, right, we have so many hopes and dreams for you, Florida Man.
Yes.
Go forth and prosper.
And cook.
And cook.
And cook, because that's your job now. I don't know what other job you're going to get.
You need a job where you can hide in the back like a cook.
So right, it works out.
He can never be front of house at a restaurant.
Right, so he has to be.
Could you imagine if you walk into a restaurant and the maitre d' is like, just has Florida tattooed to their head? Like, no, I'm leaving. I'm going to McDonald's. I'm not eating at that restaurant.
Or he should save up some money, open up a restaurant of his own, and
that only employs people who have states tattooed to their forehead.
Or the gimmick is every employee, just before they start their shift, they have to scribble a state on their forehead. And I don't know, it's the restaurant's called the United States. I don't know.
The United Plates.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, United Plates. Perfect. I don't know. There you go.
Do the patrons have to have states on their forehead?
I don't know. But definitely employees. The employees got to do something.
Definitely, yes. That's required. I love it.
Yeah. So there you go. Florida Man, we salute you. All right, let's move to Apocalypse Activities. We're going to give you some recommendations as to what to do this weekend. So, Mike, what do you want to suggest to people?
So, PlayStation right now has the Play at Home initiative going on, and I just wanted to make people aware of it. Basically, what they're doing is they're offering a handful of free games this spring to incentivize people to you know, during the pandemic, because it's still ongoing, to stay at home and play at home. So they have 5 indie games available to download, some really good ones like The Witness and Subnautica. Definitely go check those out. They have a couple of virtual reality games. They have a discount on Funimation and anime streaming service. And also the really big one is that starting in mid-April, you can get Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition for free as well. And that was one of Sony's big, huge, you know, open world action RPG exclusives from several years ago. They have the sequel coming out later this year, trying to drum up hype for it. So if you haven't played Horizon Zero Dawn yet, now's the perfect time. If you own a PlayStation console, you can download any of these games for free throughout the months of April and May. So like I said, there's like 10 or so free games out there. So go grab them, download them, and have some fun gaming at home while it's raining outside and, you know, avoiding the pandemic. So that's what I would recommend.
I may have to do that because I never gave Horizon
Zero Dawn.
Zero Dawn, thank you. Horizon?
Horizon?
Stop.
I'm definitely going to prod you when it gets closer to coming out for free to make sure that you go get it, because it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, and free is a price I can deal with. So
exactly.
I guess I'm just going to go back and hearken that. I don't know. Give American Gods a shot. I like that show. Rachel commented on our live feed that I sound like an 80-year-old. So, because I still can't pronounce starts, and I pronounce Captain Falcon.
You said it again. You said starts.
Start. Whatever.
It's stars. Rich, how is it that hard?
HBO had three different apps. They had HBO, HBO Go, HBO Now. That was difficult. It happens.
Rich, you're like 60 years old. I want to hear you say Hobo instead of HBO.
Hobo.
I wouldn't. Hobo go.
So there you go.
Oh my God.
Give American Gods a shot. I like that show. I it shouldn't have been canceled. Starts, they don't know what they're doing. Okay. I'm a cranky old man, so now it's time to.
You got to go to bed. It's time for Rich.
Yeah, I'm a cranky old man. It's time to go to bed. We're doing this show live. It's too late on the East Coast. This is too late. We got to start wrapping up.
We're too old for this, Rich. Yeah. We're in our 30s now.
I'm apparently already in my 80s, according to Rachel. I jumped right to 80s. So there you go. If you like what you heard between an 80-year-old and Mike, follow us on thecrispynoodle.com. Follow us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so you stay up to date and hear other shenanigans that we are up to during this crazy year.
That's right. You can also get the video version of the podcast on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to our channel there. But you can still get the audio-only version of the podcast as well by subscribing to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on either YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where you have mini noodles, some lovely promos to make you laugh. They're only a minute or two, so check that out as well.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters and let us know what's up and say hi and or give us a topic suggestion and we'll run with it. So yeah, let us know what's happening on Twitter. But for right now, we got to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Compact Communique, the 2021 version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. Anything else, Mike?
No, I'm good over here.
All right. Well, then that'll wrap it up. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later! Bye-bye, all you fine peoples.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.